the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
John chapter 3, verse 6. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. In our readings today, we consider where is the flesh and where is the spirit. Of what are we made? Flesh and spirit. You remember in that early scene, the Spirit of God moved over the face of the waters. And the Spirit has, from the very start, been within the very essence of the world. We've rehearsed several times in the readings lately about the way in which we, God's children, imbued with the Spirit, have nevertheless resisted the Spirit. We are born of the flesh. We are, from the very beginning of time, imbued by the Spirit. And it is a matter of our common free will that again and again we have resisted the Spirit. We have, in essence, refused to know. Intuitively, we do know, but we choose not to apprehend the essence of our intuition. So, let us consider the readings today. Firstly, Abraham, a little unlike his fellows, we would suspect. So much so that God pointed to him and chose him. Above all, he was chosen that we might be inspired, that we might know the full dimensions of our heritage and who we are. Notice that in this particular part of Genesis, in that reading, Abraham is called Abraham. There's a spelling difference, and it sounds slightly different from the name which he was given. We are reading from the 12th chapter of Genesis. If you reach the 17th chapter, you'll see that God called him Abraham, representing a new relationship. And a sign of that relationship was to be underlined, as it were, by the response of those people. They were to be, or every male was to be circumcised. Abraham, it's in fact the same name, the same word, simply different dialectical forms. So they come from a different dialect. Same name, expressed slightly differently. It means father of nations. We hear it expressed later as divine father is exalted, is the first name, referring to God. And we hear here that Abraham is to be the father of nations. It's artificially explained later as father of multitudes of nations. That's very important. Father of a multitude of nations. We might say, yes, he's talking about the Jewish people and maybe us too. But here is included the Edomites and the Ishmaelites. Hugely pertinent us to reflect on today, in this world, in this fractured world, in this broken world, because the father of the nations, our nation, the new Israel, the Christian body, the Jewish nation, the Edomites, the Ishmaelites, back to whom the Islamic peoples and faith look. And we recognize that things don't change. Abraham's call was set against a background of divided humanity. Nothing new. But Abraham was called, not just for himself, but those very nations who would inherit that heritage. Not least of all, of course, recognized by the people of Israel, the Hebrew nation. And Abraham was chosen to play a decisive role in God's historic purpose. Abraham, one man. You may often say to yourself, what can I do? As that finger of God points to you and asks you to respond. What happened in Abraham's case was incredible. It was life-changing. It was world-changing. My dear brothers and sisters, that is your call and mine too. And whatever change is effected, it is a change for good. It is of the Spirit. And God speaks of his promise. He says, in my purpose, you will receive a land. You will become a nation. For what purpose? We must ask ourselves always, for what purpose are these things wrought? Why? Third point is made. You are chosen to mediate my blessing on the world. The Jewish people were called for a purpose, to mediate the blessing of God to all people. You are called to that same purpose, to mediate God's blessing on all people. And of course, with it came a charge. There are certain things you have to lay aside. Certain things which may seem to you incredibly important, but they must be laid aside for the sake of my purposes, for my kingdom, and the love which is to prevail within and pervade that kingdom. You must break old ties that keep you from me, even if they're family ties. You must break old ties that keep you from me and doing my will. And you must remain obedient to my call. And so we reflect in the reading we hear from Romans. Abraham is justified by that faith which allowed him to leave all, to fix his gaze upon God and his purposes alone. It's not what you do. It is your faith which leads you to do, which is important. That is not to say works are unimportant. What is important in the first place is that faith, for indeed in the end, that faith must lead only to good works, as St. James reminds us. His blessing comes to those who, in faith, accept God, and in accepting God, accept his free gift. His free gift of forgiveness. That's what St. Paul takes from this passage. Abraham's obedience came to him as Abraham, before his circumcision. His response was by faith, not by legalism, not by saying I've got to do this or that or the other first. Just let me see that total goodness to which I aspire, God himself, which can change me and mould me and melt me, and all those things which we so beautifully sang. We are true descendants of Abraham with faith in Christ, our God. In Christ, we see our Saviour, whose love, just remember this is the important thing. His love is bestowed on every one of us, even when we sin. Even when we don't even regard the legal requirements and consequences. He loves us. He saves us. He is our Saviour, even when we sin. And that's why this gospel reading we heard this morning is so beautiful. Because Nicodemus, who was he? What was he? He was a Pharisee. He was a man of the law. He was a man of the letter of the law. His devoutness, the devoutness of his group, was measured indeed by keeping the letter of the law. And Jesus sets out for us how we seek the kingdom of God. Not first of all by making moral judgments, even on ourselves. Certainly not by all the time making moral judgments on others, judging others. But by the Spirit. By the Spirit of God, which moves us in our worship. The Spirit of God which we intuitively know, and yet which is of course signified for us by the Church in our baptism. The water of life and the Spirit renews us. That's a beautiful image in the baptismal service, isn't it? Remember, I started by saying the Spirit of God moved over the face of the waters. And it was from those waters of utter chaos which came forth new life. I'm sure there are many of you here that can tell me that your lives have sometimes seemed in that same utter chaos. But the Spirit of God moves over that chaos and renews us. In the symbol of baptism, I know we're sprinkled, rather as I sprinkled you at the beginning, but the symbolism there, we're plunged into the water of baptism that we might be raised up to new life, clean, refreshed, whole and wholesome, emerging from the primordial waters which would destroy us, imbued with the very essence of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, who bestows the Spirit, his Spirit, the Spirit of God. And we learn that like gives birth to like. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. What is born of the law is constrained by the law. Don't remain there, don't hover there, don't always gravitate there, for there is a way to overcome that. The way to overcome it is to respond to the Spirit of love, of peace, of joy, of that utter knowledge of God as ours forever and ever. Order in our lives comes from the Spirit. The Spirit of Adam. Just think of who Jesus was, what he did. He's hanging on the cross. What is that Spirit then? What is that Spirit? It's a Spirit of absolute self-giving. That self-giving cries out from the cross, is poured out from the cross. Whoever knows this knows the promise of eternal life, a life of eternal union with God. Not only beyond our present, this is most important, not only beyond our present, but bursting into our present, making us whole now. This, my dear brothers and sisters, is our present transformation. Love as God loves you. Love one another in that true spirit which Christ pours out for us in his death, the power of which is marked by his resurrection. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.